This is the Pacifica National Board meeting of May 24th, 2012. Convening at 5:38 p.m. Pacific Time, 8:38 p.m. Eastern Time. Summer Reese, Chair. Bill Crozier, Vice Chair. Afia Wangaza, Secretary. Madam Secretary, call the roll, please.
Ken Aaron. Can't hear you, Ken. Ivan Alsame. Can't hear you, Alan. Ivan. Teresa Allen. Teresa Allen. Can't hear you, Teresa. Nia Bediako.
Present.
Thank you. Wesley Gutierrez. Wesley Bethune.
Here.
Thank you. Carolyn Burden. Carolyn Burden. Can't hear you, Carolyn. Mia Brazon.
Here.
Bill Crozier.
Here.
David. Kathy David. Can't hear you, Kathy. Revlon Gold.
Present.
Thank you. Heather Gray.
Here.
Campbell Johnson.
Here.
Allie Lexa. Allie Lexa. Can't hear you, Allie. Theo Wangaza is present. Laura Priest.
Ken Aaron is present. I'm sorry I missed the roll call.
Thank you.
Laura is here.
Thank you. Maurice.
Present.
Marcel Reed. Marcel Reed. Can't hear you, Marcel. George Ryder.
Here.
Tracy Rosenberg.
Here.
Thank you. Dan Siegel.
Dan Siegel.
Can't hear you, Dan. Excuse me. Alex Steinberg. Alex Steinberg. Can't hear you, Alex. Andrea Turner. Andrea Turner. Can't hear you, Andrea. We do have quorum, Madam Chair.
Excuse me, Carolyn Burden here. I just joined the call. Sorry to be late.
LaVarn Williams here.
Thank you, Madam Secretary.
I'm sorry, Madam Secretary. Did you hear me,
yes.
Carolyn Burden?
Yes. Thank you, Carolyn. All right, do we have any volunteers to be, did you receive any requests for?
No, I did not.
Okay. All right, or Bill. All right, so I haven't received any excused absences. Hopefully people will join us. Does anyone want to volunteer to be timekeeper? We know that's, it doesn't always work out that way, but we can give it a shot. And if we don't, we don't.
Okay. Bill, I'll do it if nobody else wants to. Right.
Thank you, Bill. Okay. Open session agenda approval. Madam Secretary, did you have the, I believe Arlene was pointing late.
I marked her. Yes, I did.
Oh, okay. Thank you. And,
hi, this is Alex.
Hello?
Hi, Alex. Thank you.
Hello.
All right. Are there any changes to the proposed open session agenda, which essentially picks up where we left off, getting business out of here, we hope. I think there's one new motion from the coordinating committee regarding change of our next telephone meeting date. But other than that, pretty much it's continuing where we left. So are there any objections to the proposed agenda?
So this is Nia.
Nia, go ahead, please.
The personnel committee, I think there's a one missing in front of the five. I don't think we'll be discussing. We can discuss this in 5 minutes.
Oh, okay. I see. You mean in terms of the amount of time allocated, of course, it does look like an error. And I think there was more time on it the last time I saw this item on an agenda.
Yeah, I think actually maybe it was, but I would.
Was it the same answer?
What did you say? What did you say, Summer? I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. 15 minutes? Does that seem adequate?
Yeah,
probably
we could try for that. I'd have to go back to see how many minutes I asked for, but we could try for 15.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any objection to that? And hearing none, are there any other changes to the agenda? And hearing none, then we'll presume that it is approved, and we will move on. Yes, who is that?
It's Bill. Just a question. Do we need to adjourn by any particular time to get to executive session?
Well, we have an hour and a half down for open. I think we should probably try to stick to that, get out of here an hour and a half, so we have about an hour and a half for executive session, okay?
Summer, this is
yes.
Mia.
Yes.
This is point of order. There was no notice for executive session, you know.
Okay, then this appears to be an issue because we scheduled all the meetings for the entire year, and there should be automatically both open and closed. So I think we're going to have to go back into the meeting calendar and make sure that this is that we've got the closed session booked with the open session. Because we're not, you know what I mean, these were posted quite a while ago, so I apologize if it's not in there. We can go into closed session at any time. The board can do that whether or not it's posted, since the closed session doesn't affect the public's right to listen, only the open session. But that's an issue that we should address for future reference, certainly. Well, I still believe we should go into closed session this evening. I did ask our legal counsel to be available after 7 p.m. So if there's no objection, I would suggest that we try to stick to the hour and a half open.
Andrea Turner checking in.
Hey, Andrea. Thank you. Okay, very good. We'll mark you as present. All right, so is there any objection to the approval of the proposed agenda?
Marcel.
Hi, Marcel. Thank you. We'll mark you as present.
Dan Siegel.
Hi, Dan. Thank you. We'll mark you as present, too. Okay, welcome, everybody. All right, can you all hear me? Am I in a decent location? Am I being heard?
Yeah.
I can hear you.
Good. Okay, thank you. So, again, if there's no objection to the open session agenda, as proposed, then we can move forward and get some of this out of our way. And hearing none? Okay. Madam Secretary, if you could mark it as approved, please. Then we have approval of accrued open session minutes. I know John Gibson sent them out to the board about 3 days ago again. And the meeting dates that are on the agenda are for April 12th, April 26th, May 2nd, and May 10th. Those will be our last four open session meetings. Hopefully members have had an opportunity to review the minutes. Are there any objections to any of those sets of minutes for approval? And if not, if someone could move to approve the minutes, that would be appreciated.
Nia again, Summer?
Yes, Nia.
I had sent a correction to the April 26th. I'd like to ask the recording secretary, did he update the minutes to reflect a point of order that I made?
Okay. Mr. Recording Secretary, can you are you able to respond to that?
Yes, and it was corrected.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, very good. Any other points of inquiry or any objections, amendments, or anything? If not, if someone would like to move to approve those minutes?
So moved. It's George.
Thank you. Is there a second? We don't have an objection, I guess. Is there any objection to approval of those minutes?
Hello, this is Ali.
Hi, Ali. Thank you. We'll mark you as present. Well, I'd like a second just because it's more orderly. We had a motion from Siegel to approve. Do we have a second?
Second. Can you hear me? Second.
Thank you. Sophia?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. So any objection to approval of the minutes? And hearing none. Thank you all. Okay. That's four accrued sets of minutes. are marked as approved. Thank you, Board Secretary and Recording Secretary. All right, so we have next on the agenda the Executive Director's Report. I know from speaking with the Executive Director that she's in a meeting with this evening and will be joining us on the call, but we'll join us a little bit later. Hi, Bill. Go ahead.
Someone needs to mute themselves, whoever's typing or doing something like that.
Please mute your phone. I think it may be because I asked Secretary to unmute. Thank you. So the ED's report, we're going to skip over because the executive director is in a meeting right now and isn't able to give us that report at this point in the meeting. LaVarn Williams, is our chief financial officer with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay. LaVarn, would you like to go ahead and skip this report? And that will be the next. And I still hear typing, so please, if you could mute your phone down. Go ahead, LaVarn. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is LaVarn Williams. The report for this meeting is just really brief. We have not completed the close. We had KPFA business manager did not close until a week later. We still haven't closed for WBAI with the business manager. I'm sorry, the fiscal director there. And so I don't have preliminary numbers to give you. And concerning the audit, just briefly, we are still getting requests for information from the auditor, and I've been trying to copy the board on this. Just a second, they're vacuuming. Just a minute, let me close the door. Okay. So we're getting requests for information, but we find that this information had been requested and delivered to the auditor. I believe I copied the board on most of these requests that we received lately. So again, they had been sent to the auditor previously, and in fact, the report had actually been done on the pledges receivable, and that was requested again today. So I responded to the auditor on that. So we are asking for extensions for CPB for the AFR reports, the annual financial report. So we're doing that. We're still responding to some requests from both the CPB auditor, but this isn't related to our FY 2011 audit at all. And we're also responding to requests from an audit by the D.C. government for WPFW, so we're still responding to those. And we're having the current weekly meetings with the leadership of Pacifica, and we've talked about the results for the first 6 months and the actions that must be taken to address those. So individual managers have met with them to talk about the plans to get back on target to finish the year at break even or better. And basically, that's all I have to report until I can get the information from until I close the books and until we can address and lay out some of the plans that have been pulled together by the general managers about addressing the shortfalls in revenue and the results of the fund drives that are, most of them are currently falling below the target. So that's kind of where we are right now.
Thank you, LaVarn. Other questions? And if not, we'll move on to the next report. Okay. All right. Thank you, LaVarn.
Sure,
okay,
you're
very welcome. I'm sorry, who is that? Okay. All right, so next portion of the agenda is the board chair's report. And so I'm going to go ahead and update on, don't believe I had a report out from our last meeting. I did the report out of the last open meeting, executive session. I'm going to update on the KPFA recall, since I'm sort of in charge of supervising the supervisor. There were a couple of formatting errors on the sample ballot, which was sent to me, and they've been corrected. I've gotten two revisions this week, and I asked for clarification on one more thing to do with the ballot. Just I've done a lot of printing and publishing, and I want to make sure that there are no errors which will come back to cause us a problem later, such as the inability to scan the yes or no's or something of that nature after approving like $15,000 worth of printing. So that has held it up by a few days. I've sent a letter to, I sent an email to Tari Wilson, the chair of the KPFA board, who had inquired about it, and I anticipate having a final proof review again, probably to go to the printer tomorrow. So that's an update on the KPFA recall. Otherwise, I believe it's moving along pace, and nothing that I saw was of tremendous significance besides formatting it. With that? Okay, I don't know. I hear sound on the line. I think it's just one. The other thing, let's see, that I wanted to address.
You're getting weak and muffled, Summer.
I'm being muffled. Okay. Sorry, I can't seem to get a good signal to save my life today. All right. Let's see here. I'm going to try and move around. Is that any better?
Yes,
probably not.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm yelling at it. All right. The other thing is there's been some concern regarding the choice of the Durant Hotel in Berkeley as being a non-union hotel. I have written to the corporate director of human resources at Joie de Vivre Hotels, the corporate company that owns the Durant where we have met previously. On my own inquiries, it appears that this company, at some of its hotels, has in fact won labor awards, but I've asked specifically for more information regarding the parity of their employees, you know, compensation and benefits, area union workers, quantity of rooms, effective housekeeping staff per day, the type of labor issues that I think most of us are concerned with. So I hope to get something back from them that will, I hope, address some of our issues. So, preemptively bringing that up because I've made an inquiry regarding this. And then I think that's it for right now. Elections have also come under discussion. We are way behind schedule on hiring an NES. The hiring of a national election supervisor is by the bylaws direction under the purview of the executive director and not the Pacifica National Board. And I believe and I hope that the executive director will be forced to hire an NES, but I do think this board may have to, you know, ultimately take up the issue of the fact that we are a couple of months behind schedule and that inevitably these elections may be delayed. So it's not really part of my chair's report. It's more these are things that are under discussion that we will probably need to put on the agenda and get some feedback from where the executive director is at. So those are the things that I can, I believe I need to tell everyone in the chair's perspective from the chair's report. Are there any questions or discussion on anything?
This is Lydia.
Hi, Lydia.
Ken,
go
I
ahead.
Got a. No, I want to be on the queue too.
Okay, Lydia, and then Ken. Hi, Lydia.
Yes. As you know, I sent out a notice for a motion earlier about the Durant Hotel and an option. And I know there was a question as to whether the, and my motion says, can we explore, or I'm driving, so I can't read it verbatim, but everybody has it, the possibility of getting the waiver or an equivalent thereof from, I mean, if they're that good, then I assume the hotel workers union would be open to that. There was some question, you know, do they ever do that? They did it here in, I don't remember the year, but anyway, it was for a local organization that one of our programmers is affiliated with, again, because of exigent circumstances, and the in fact, the woman that really helped build Unite here in L.A. Is the one that, you know, wrote a letter explaining what the circumstances were, et cetera. So it's not like a document that says a form letter or something that says waiver, but something that would explain the situation if we present the exigent circumstances. And that the option is for those of us who feel that our money needs to go to union hotels when we stay somewhere, but when representing Pacifica, that then the equivalent be amount that you're going to pay anyway for that board member at the other hotel can be paid to the union hotel with the member paying the difference. That's the crux of that motion.
Okay, I will happily put it on the agenda for our next meeting. It will still be in advance of the PNB meeting. I did attempt to see if there was a way to contact Unite here up in the Bay Area. I wasn't successful in finding a phone number today as quickly as I was able to find one for corporate relations at the hotel chain. I'm not familiar with, you know, the, obtaining union waivers. I care about how people are treated fundamentally. Are they treated fairly? Are they having a humane workload? Are they being paid adequately? You know, I mean, all the real things that unions strive to get for their workers. I'm happy to do a little more.
I had asked, my motion asked the executive director
I'm on the
to
queue. Please, don't get in a discussion. I have to object.
She returns to
Canada. And she agreed.
Can we please have a queue?
Very good. Well, okay, so if the motion is still necessary to go beyond that, it can be put on the next agenda report, you know, which will be before the in-person meeting, okay? And I hope that we can get some of this stuff addressed so that everyone has their concerns, you know, adequately addressed to deal with the situation. Ken?
My concern is I'd like to know if there's any Pacifica National Board policy about relationship with getting services from unions for printing and hotels and rent and transportation and food and all the things we spend money on, if there's an existing policy, because I couldn't find anything in the bylaws. And specific issues regarding political preferences and agendas is an imposition of a person's political viewpoint. I may not like eating in hotels that don't serve organic food or have previously held conventions for General Electric or don't have a good policy on energy efficiency. Could be 1,001 things that I might want to advocate for. And I don't see anything in the bylaws regarding Pacifica's association with union organizations. And I'm just saying this not because of what my position may or may not be about unions, but because it's an imposition of a political point of view. It's sort of like saying, you know, we're progressives or we're Democrats or we're not libertarians or we are libertarians and we support unions. I would support that if it's approved by a PNB motion. But it isn't in the bylaws. It's supernumerary to our activities, and it's this kind of political posturing that slows down our meetings and our activities so that we don't get to normal business. So that's why I'm bringing that up. I'd like if anybody can give me where the PNB passed a policy that we will only contract for union services and goods.
Dan on the stack.
Sure, and I'm not aware of such a policy. Perhaps someone else is. Go ahead, Dan.
You know, I'm just really amazed to hear Ken's comments, and I hope a lot of our allies and friends in the progressive movement are listening to this show show this evening. You know, I can imagine he'd probably make the same argument if we said that we didn't want to work in a or have a meeting in a hotel that discriminates on the basis of race or gender or sexual preference. I mean, this is 2012. Do people really need a formal policy to support unions and consider themselves part of the progressive movement? I just find this really appalling, and I'm amazed that we even consider coming to the Bay Area, which is one of the most progressive places in the country, and staying in a non-union hotel, and then argue about it. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Ken.
Ken to the stack again.
Well, hold on, Ken. Is there anyone else that wishes to speak? Okay, I'm going to say Carolyn. Oh, go ahead, Carolyn. I'm going to put myself on stack to say something about this since I brought it up in my report. Okay, go ahead, Carolyn.
Ken is right. This sort of political posturing is what we don't need. I think if people were that concerned about it, they would have either passed a motion or found a hotel for us. I think that I'd like to move on to this. I think we spent enough time on it. Thank you.
Revelyn to the stack.
Thank you, Carolyn. Go ahead, Revelyn.
Camel for stack.
You know, I really think that Dan summed it up perfectly. When we look at our world today and we... and we see how much our values are being challenged. And we take something lightly because we may have a squeeze. And, you know, and we take five steps backwards, not just one, but five. I think it's appalling. And I think if we're talking about losing listeners, I think this is a perfect opportunity to start losing even more. We don't.
Point of information.
Excuse me, I'm still talking.
Revelin, I'll take your point of information. Go ahead, Revelin.
I was finishing, but I just think it's so rude for people to start yelling, you know, they're on the stack. Wait for somebody.
Oh, you were finishing. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, too. Thank you.
What's your point of information? Thank you, Revelin.
My point of information is, what is the motion that's being argued right now?
There is no motion being argued. Which needs to get put on the agenda.
We're time.
Okay. And it can be put on the agenda for next week, but it was regarding allowing people to stay elsewhere and being the amount of money that was going to be used to at that hotel going elsewhere.
It seems to me then that this discussion is largely out of order because we're not discussing the agenda. We're discussing issues of substance.
We can definitely move on. I'm going to say one thing to wrap this up, and Campbell wanted to speak, so I want to let Campbell speak, but...
We're past time.
Okay. Well, I don't need to say anything further. Does somebody want to... Campbell, do you feel compelling desire to speak?
I would like to have an opportunity for my brief comment, and that is that I think it is disingenuous for members of this organization to characterize negatively the interest and concern that is expressed with regard to persons in the labor movement and our concern about not offending them. Thank you.
Thank you, Campbell. And I just want to say two quick things, because I brought this subject up. A, there is no evidence that this particular hotel chain does not treat its employees well. In fact, it's quite the contrary. The owner of the chain has been on our airwaves talking about all of his humanitarian policies, church quality, his this, that, and the other, okay? We have this person as a guest on our radio station. They won labor awards in the Bay Area. I'm asking specific unions fight for excellent things for workers, but not every employer is evil just because they don't have a union there. So I think we need to objectively look at this. When you start breaking off room blocks, that completely destroys your ability to book an event. You book an event on a minimum number of rooms, which you're guaranteeing the venue, and associated price on your meeting rooms and your food. That's how it works. When you start parceling it off to three people over here and two over there, you've just completely annihilated the ability of a business to enter into a contract with another business very effectively. So there are several issues at stake here. One of them is the ability to run efficiently the business of the foundation, and the other is I think we need a little more data because it doesn't necessarily mean we're doing business with someone who's evil just because they don't fit all the rest of the criteria that we apply to everything else. So I will certainly share with the entire board whatever information I get back from this. Next item on the agenda is, I believe, the coordinating committee motion.
Okay,
Bill, did you want to do that? You're the coordinating committee chair?
Okay, that's on the agenda. Regards the next PNB teleconference meeting date. Whereas the June 14th PNB teleconference meeting conflicts with the annual conference of the National Federation of Community Broadcasters, that PNB meeting should be changed to Wednesday, June 6th, 2012. And that was approved in committee without any objection. Just to motivate a little bit, the NFCB conference will be held in Houston this year. Probably all of us from Houston will want to be there. Arlene will be there. I'm not sure how many other people from some of our other Pacifica stations will be there, but it's an important opportunity for us to interact with people from our other affiliates and other stations. And there's also a special event that evening, the very evening that our PNB meeting was to be scheduled, that's co-hosted by KPFT and the KTSU, which is one of the college radio stations in Houston. So I would miss the PNB meeting, I'm sure. So that we were just asking that we moved up 8 days to be on Wednesday, June 6th.
Thank you. Is there any objection to this? It was approved without objection by the entire coordinating committee. So is there any objection from the PNB to changing that meeting date? And hearing none? All right, then we'll mark it as approved. Madam Secretary and Recording Secretary, if you could change that, and we'll need to change it on the KPFDX calendar to reflect Wednesday, June 6th as the next PNB teleconference as opposed to Thursday, June 14th.
Point of information, Madam Chair?
Yes, Campbell, go ahead, please.
Yes, the point of information is that Bill had agreed to take care of the posting and cancellation of the meetings.
Oh, thank you. I forgot. Thank you.
Committee.
Yes. Campbell. All right, and I see under there was discussion of how to get volunteers to help stream and archive PNB committee meetings. Bill, did you want to say something on that before we move on to Finance Committee?
Well, yeah, actually, this was something we had put on the agenda for the January in-person meeting, and I really wanted more time to talk about it. Let me just mention briefly, and then if you know some people, please let me know. We need some people who are kind of technically oriented who are willing, and not just people on the PNB. It might be easier if people are not on the PNB, but who are willing to archive and, you know, to record and stream some of our committee meetings, because it just takes a lot of time, and it's not fair to rely on just a few people, Otis and John and Brian sometimes, to do that. And it's not necessarily hard, but you need to be familiar with how to install software on your computer and check all the settings, and then if something's not working right, you need to do a little troubleshooting to understand what it is that may be wrong. You might have a bad internet connection or something like that. So let me just say, if anybody's interested, please send your contact information to me, either people, any of you on this call, or if there's other people at your stations who might be willing to learn how to do that and step forward to help out.
Thank you, Bill.
But I'll answer questions if I can.
Bill, this is George.
Hey, George.
Go ahead, George.
Is there any reason that anything to be done during the meeting itself that would require attention, or you set it up before the meeting and then close it down after the meeting?
Mostly you set it up during the meeting. When I've done it occasionally, you generally need a Skype connection. So you need a separate connection from what you're using to actually talk to the meeting with. So if you're going to be in the meeting, you need two connections. You need wants to call in for the recording and archiving, and then you can call in on another line or cell phone so that you can talk. That answers your question. If you don't do that, you may not get both sides of the conversation recorded, or one side will be much louder than the other, depending on how you do it.
It didn't quite. So once you set it up, then there's nothing further to do. You can just participate in the meeting. Is that right?
That's basically it. And then when you get through, you need to save it and split up convert it to MP3 if it's not already. Split it up into approximately 1 hour segments. Name the files appropriately. Upload them to the KPFDX server.
Okay.
This is Lydia.
Go ahead, Lydia.
Yeah. We have to be, I think an open call is one thing, but we really need to be diligent about making sure that the meetings are recorded properly, because that is how we are assessed in terms of the CPB open meeting requirements. And we should know that at our last, one of our last meetings, I think it was our last PNB meeting, we were being broadcast when we thought we weren't on air yet. So there are a lot of glitches that can happen even when we have our normal pros doing it. And so I think there needs to be a backup recording when we're trying someone new out, for one thing. And maybe we should always have a backup recording when it's not our normal staff doing it.
Thank you. Bill, did you want to respond at all before we go on?
Well, just recording is easier. You don't need as much software. You don't need another internet connection. So, that could be done. We just don't need a volunteer then for each meeting to be willing to do that. I mean, if you know somebody who's interested in doing just that part, I'll be glad to talk to them about that too, some of the details. You need some software either way, you know, but that would be simpler.
So if we could get you on.
I'm not sure it would satisfy the CPB open meetings requirements, because I think the streaming part is, even though probably not as many people listen to the stream, I think that's more specifically oriented towards the open meeting aspect of it. The archiving is maybe more convenient for people. They can access the part of the meeting they want later, or back it up and hear it again, or things like that. But we really need to do both.
Agreed. That's what I meant.
Thank you. Here's from each signal area, we'd have 10 new people to do this, right? So, that's all we need, 2 good people from each area. All right, thank you, Bill. So, yeah, everyone, anyone interested in doing this, please contact Bill. And hopefully we can get at least a few more people. It would be very helpful to alleviate some of the burden on our technical staff. All right, next on the agenda is Finance Committee. Tracy Rosenberg, are you ready?
Well, I am, but I'm going to make a proposition, which is that this motion is not particularly time sensitive, and I know that underneath it is Personnel Committee, which I believe is fairly time sensitive, regarding the confidentiality agreement. So if it's okay and nobody objects, I would either propose to swap those items or simply to postpone the Finance Committee to the next meeting, because I don't really see any reason why we have to do it tonight. And I know there's concern about getting the agreement passed through.
Okay. All right. Does anyone object to that? Why don't we just put it on the next agenda for the next meeting, which is probably easier than swapping them around. Is there any objection to that? Okay. All right. Very good. So that would bring us to Personnel Committee, Nia Bediako with the LSD Committee Management Search Committee Confidential Agreement. Nia, do you want to go ahead and take that, or do you want someone to read that for you?
Yes. At large. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Good evening, everyone. Just as a quick reminder, the genesis of this Local Station Board Management Search Committee Confidential Agreement, we passed the program director search process. And the reason this is necessary, because on some search committees, there are non-LSB members who need to be bound by confidentiality. The personnel committee worked on this. It was approved by Andy Gold, our foundation counsel. And here we go. And excuse me. And in parentheses, you put your station's name, Management Search Committee, here and after referred to as MSC. I recognize and accept my responsibility to protect the confidentiality of every candidate. As a member of the search committee, I will have access to confidential information and materials related to the search. And with full knowledge of the critical importance of confidentiality to the integrity and success of the search process, I hereby agree, I will not disclose confidential information shared by candidates or other committee members to anyone outside of Pacifica Foundation, including but not limited to the applicant's employer or associates, or to anyone inside of Pacifica Foundation who does not have legitimate reason to know based on job or local or national board membership without the prior written consent of the committee. In this context, confidential information includes, but is not limited to, applicants' plural names, places of current or previous paid or unpaid work, and references. Deliberations of the search committee relating to individual candidates and all documents which might identify individual candidates. I will maintain the confidentiality and integrity of communication and security systems, including data processing systems, telephone conference numbers, recording codes, email, and voicemail belonging to the function or used to conduct the foundation's business. I will take all reasonable steps necessary to ensure that confidential documentation and other material is monitored, managed, stored, transmitted, destroyed, and otherwise handled in a manner that will preclude inadvertent disclosure, loss, or misuse. I acknowledge that I have read and understood the confidentiality agreement, and it would be signed and dated, and that was approved without objection by the personnel committee. That's that. Madam Chair, you there?
I am. I was on mute. Sorry. Thank you. Discussion? Thank you. Is there a discussion?
Yeah, Carolyn, I'm a director.
Ten to five.
Carolyn. Okay, Carolyn. Revelin.
Yeah, this is pretty much what in fact, we have done at WBAI, requiring this, you know, level of attention to the problem. But I have two questions. Number one, perhaps for me or the entire committee, is there any indication that information has actually been leaked from the committee that would prompt this now? Because I thought most committees were pretty much on top of the confidentiality issue. And then the other thing is, what is the penalty for confirming that someone has broken confidentiality by not abiding by this? That a motion is wonderful, but without some penalty, it doesn't seem to have much effect, to be honest.
You're welcome.
Revelin's next. I'm going to put myself on stack, too. So, Bill, after Revelin, let's take a chair for a minute. Thank you. Revelin, go ahead.
Okay.
Well, I think the confidentiality agreement is is a fine idea. But I was also going to say, ask the question, what are the consequences, either, you know, implied or actually spelled out, if someone does break the confidentiality? That's it.
Okay, I think, Ken, you skipped Ken, I think.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear Ken. Sorry, Ken. Go ahead.
Who's on? Ken?
Go ahead, yeah.
Nobody else is talking, so I guess I'm on the queue. It's LeVar. I'm sorry, I'm on. Okay. It doesn't seem to have. I mean, I think it's a great idea to have the confidentiality agreement. It's missing consequences and time definition. I think most contracts have to have a consequence of a violation and also a time different limitation. So it isn't clear that they can't divulge the information at any time, even after a person is chosen, because the candidates who weren't selected don't want to be disclosed either. I just feel like it would have been safer to get some boilerplate non-disclosure agreement, as opposed to just drafting one. It should be tighter, and there should be consequences. So perhaps it should go back to committee.
Thank you, Ken. All right, so I'm going to speak from my perspective of having been co-chair of two general manager search committees and member of the PD search committee. So over the last 5 years, I've done three of these management search committees, helping to run two of them. I found the lack of respect for confidentiality and the integrity on the part of board members to be simply appalling. No amount of agreements are going to make up for lack of ethics and integrity. That's something that people either have or don't have. However, I think the policy that we passed a little while back that allowed members of the public to join search committees was a bad, bad idea. It sounds nice and it sounds touchy-feely. At the end of the day, we're an employer. We get sued a lot. We are responsible for how we treat people when they apply for a job, all the way from the time they send us the application to when we do not hire them. And honest to their career if they work for us. I have seen from my own personal experience board members who clearly are the only people that had access to the information. You can't end up on indie media twice. Once, clearly right after a board member came into possession of information as to his candidates. With board members, there's an obvious consequence when they sign a confidentiality agreement. If they breach it, you can kick them off the board. You can take censure against them. You can do something to them which removes them from their ability to do that again. With members of the public, you have no such ability to punish them for their breach. If anybody gets sued, it's not going to be that member of the public. It will be the Pacifica Foundation for being stupid enough to have a member of the public in the committee in the first place. And that's not because there aren't good members of the public. There are tons of them, but we don't exercise any authority for them. So, yes, an agreement which encompasses the participation of people over whom we exercise no authority. We cannot censure and kick off the board. We do not work for us. We cannot fire them. There is no consequence there. There's nothing that says you will indemnify us. If you breach confidentiality, we will sue you for your house if we get sued by a candidate. That's a tight contract. That tells them there are consequences. The other problem is, frankly, even with that confidentiality agreement right there, I have found lack of ethics and the breach of the confidentiality that even talking to other people who are within the organization who you should be able to talk to because, like, they're on your board, that search committees, the more people who know what's going on until the process is finished, the more problems you have and the more likelihood of damage occurring to people who are basically innocent victims who may apply for a job in a situation that isn't maintained properly. So I think I like the idea. It sounds great, but I do agree there has to be an enforcement clause. I think we should even revisit the issue of whether we allow people who are not on the board to be on these committees. I think it's a bad idea. But I hear that Angie looked at it. I do think the fact that there's nothing there to enforce against someone if they do breach confidentiality is a problem. So I would tend to support that it come back with some more teeth in it to deal with those issues and separate out the fact that we take certain types of action against people that are within the organization and that you have to take an entirely different type of legal action against someone without the organization if they violate. I'm done.
Okay, well, let me ask. I don't wasn't clear to Ken. Was that
a
motion we're making at the end?
I'm sure. Yeah, that was a motion to send it back.
Hold on just a second, Campbell. Okay. All right, Campbell, point of information?
Yes. The point of information I wanted to add is that the California law is something that needs to be taken into consideration in this regard because it expresses a lot of tolerance, I think, for directors of nonprofit organizations that
you're speaking about
should be
the motion
advised about in regard to this consideration further. Thank you.
Okay.
Excuse me, Bill.
Were you seconding the motion?
Bill.
Okay. I'll second it.
Okay. Nia?
Yeah. I mean, I'll go at the end. I was writing down the questions. At the end, do you want me to answer? Oh, how are we doing
this?
Yeah.
Well, okay, I can hold you to the end. That's fine. Yeah, if you'd rather do that.
I'll lead it up there.
Well, right now, the motion is to refer this back to the committee. So that's the motion we're debating right now.
You go ahead here to lay at the end of this topic, please, okay? Thank you.
Ali?
After hearing Summer speak, it really did remind me I have been on, I think, 5 search committees. And she brings up some really, really valid points to do with confidentiality. And I never even considered the fact that if we have members of the public on the committee and they breach confidentiality, which every time it's happened, it's pretty much destroyed the process, there's no recourse. So I support what Summer said and her motion. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else besides before we get to Nia?
This is Lydia.
Okay, Lydia.
Yes, I just want to point out that they're not just the public, that they are members, at least according to the policy that we passed. So they are listener members, and they have standing in the foundation as such. So that's number one. Number two, it has been my experience, at least here at KPFK, that those that have breached have been members of the board, not listener members. I don't ever recall a listener member who sat on a search committee breaching confidentiality, but we have known both LSC members as well as directors having done so.
Ali, back on the stack.
Okay. Is anybody else that hasn't spoken yet on the motion to refer want to say anything? Again, you don't necessarily have to speak for or against the motion. The only thing we're deciding right now is whether to refer it back to committee. If we don't refer it back to committee, then we can debate the motion some more. So, well, go ahead, Ali.
It's an interesting comment, Lydia. the few times I've been on the committees, we don't really know who leaked the information. We have suspicion, but it was never revealed who it was. I'm all for having members of the public or subscribers on these committees, but even if they are a subscriber, what kind of recourse do we have if they destroy the process? That's all.
Anybody else before we get back to Nia? Okay, Nia.
Okay. These are all pretty good questions. I forgot who just said that these are usually Pacifica's members, listener members. No, I know the California Corporations Code 5341. If my memory serves me correctly, to unmember someone, whole process that we need to go through. So I would have to take a look at that to see exactly how that works, and I would work with Andy on that. In terms of consequences, what would people like to see? 25 to life? I mean, 3 life sentences? What
three life.
What kind of consequences would satisfy?
This is summer to back, Bill.
Thanks.
Okay, remember, all we're doing right now is deciding whether or not to refer to the committee. So hopefully this could be simple. Summer?
Well, I'll happily go ahead and send my recommendations to Nia, but I did cover some of them. With a member of the public, being kicked out as a member of the foundation is of limited consequence. When you're a member of the board, you've been elected, you exercise a good deal of authority within the foundation. That's a consequence, being kicked off a board. So is, if you're an employee, having some other consequence put against you. That I recall, getting a member out of the foundation is an arduous process, and what, we'll give you back your $35? I mean, I don't see that as a consequence. Indemnification, we're back to, you know, we live in a land of lawyers and courts. When people screw up and it costs you money, you sue them and you take them to court. And sometimes when you tell them ahead of time that we're going to sue you and take you to court, they have an incentive not to. Things that are illegal. So, I'd want to see something that essentially puts the legal burden of whatever the screwed up process is. You know, somebody ends up on indie media with their lives dragged through the mud because they applied for a job and they sue us, then we sue the person that, you know, and I'm not saying we, in fact, Lynn is correct. There have been no members of the public on any of these committees I've been on. This is completely new as a PNB policy, this very recently passed policy. And I know people from before me say there were members who are not board members who are on these committees. I think it's a bad idea. You know, this is an employer. But that aside, if you're going to have members of the public, then you have to have other legal consequences. And legal consequences are the only ones that have any meaning in this type of situation. If we get sued because of some action that you take that violates this policy, you will be liable for the damages and we will cross-complain against you. And that's kind of the kind of thing I expect to see in there, something that has a consequence that's tangible in the real world. So I will make
a let me just suggest, if we refer this back to the committee, you know, everybody can send all their suggestions to the committee, and that's why we have committees, so they can discuss all this stuff in detail. So the question now is whether we want to refer it back to committee right now. So any more discussion on that issue? Okay, can we go ahead and vote? Are there any objections to sending it back to the committee?
Yes.
Hearing none in the motion?
Yes, I do. I object. Lydia.
Okay. Can we go ahead and vote on that, Madam Secretary? So the motion, if you vote yes, then you're voting to refer this back to the Personnel Committee.
This is Revelin for the stack.
Well,
are we voting now?
Could the question think?
Well, we're about to vote, but we haven't started yet, so go ahead, Revelin.
Okay. Can I hear Lydia's objection for sending it back to the committee?
Yes, because I disagree with a lot of the hypothesis, and it has not been my experience also having served on a number of search committees. Contrary to what Summer heard from me, I was not saying that there weren't listener members on the committees that I was on. I was saying that the listener members had never breached confidentiality, to my knowledge, on any committee I served, search committee I served on. And therefore, I don't think that's necessary. This policy, this confidentiality agreement has been thoroughly vetted by our counsel. I think that that is sufficient, and so I do not think that we need to keep regurgitating all of these motions. There was a lot of work went into it. There was no objection from the Personnel Committee, so I say do not refer back, just vote on it.
point of information.
Thank you.
Yeah, Summer?
Was there, you know, I wasn't even aware that Andy Gold was consulted on this, and we do have the issue of consultation. I know there were some other issues that came up in the personnel committee where I said, yes, he could go ahead and sit in on one of those calls. Did he issue some kind of opinion on this that said, like, yes, I've taken a look at this confidentiality agreement, and I agree that it's adequate?
I didn't get anything. Did anybody get anything in writing, or that we can?
Well, share? I don't know about anybody, but since Nia says that I did check with Andy, I sent it to him, and he said it was fine. I don't know if I have anything in writing, but I have no reason to lie that he said that, or when you meet him in executive session, you can ask him, did he tell me that, or didn't he tell me that?
Well, I think what it is, what's there is fine. It just, it needs more to it, in my opinion. I think it needs consequences for what happens if you breach this, you know, what happens. Usually contracts say something about what's going to happen to you if you don't adhere to their provisions.
This is Revelin.
Okay.
Along those lines.
We are out of time, by the way. So, I mean, if you have a point of information or something, go ahead. But Revelin?
I'll say it real fast. Could the consequences be stated for a board member and for a non-board member? Would that be, you know, if you're a board member, this happens. If you're a non-board member, that happens, consequences.
That sounds very logical.
That's the kind of thing the committee could adjust it or amend it however they felt was appropriate, or could incorporate legal opinions from Andy Gold or whoever. That's the reason for sending something back to the committee. If you feel that's needed, then you can vote to refer it back to the committee. If you think it's fine the way it is, you can vote not to, and you'll hold on the motion. So, can we go ahead and vote on the motion then to refer? Okay. Sophia, can you call the roll, please? Vote yes means we're referring it to the committee.
Wesley here. Would you please reread the motion?
Well, it's pretty long. It's in the agenda. It's the personnel committee motion.
Also
management search committee confidential agreement.
That's not what he's talking about, Bill. He's talking about the motion to refer it back to the committee. Isn't that what you're talking about, Leslie?
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. The original motion that we're referring to the committee. Before
I object. It takes 5 minutes to read it, Wesley. I object. It's dilatory.
It's a confidentiality agreement that has been recommended by the committee.
Okay. Well,
so the issue right now is whether to refer it back to the committee.
Can I speak? Yeah, Ken's motion was out of order, but I will
we're really out of time for this. We were out of time about 3 minutes ago. Wesley.
Yeah, well, if you'll let me speak, I'll tell you, I'm willing to abstain from this vote because I haven't heard the original motion. Thank you.
Do you have your agenda, Wesley?
I'm out watering my roses. So that's why I'm going to abstain. Okay, just go ahead and carry on your vote. I move the agenda.
And this was a carryover from the last one or two or more agendas. It's been in the agenda for some time. I forgot when the committee approved it, but okay. So right now we're going to vote on whether or not to refer the motion back to the committee, and then they can do whatever they feel is appropriate and send it back to us if they want. Can you call Roland, please, Sophia?
Ken Aaron.
Yes. Sorry. Yes.
Ivan Alcine. Ivan Alcine, is he here? Allen. Teresa Allen, can't hear you, Teresa. Nia Bediaco?
No.
Wesley Bethune?
Abstain.
Carolyn Burton?
Yes.
Lydia Bazan?
No.
Bill Crozier?
I won't vote unless it's a tie. Since I'm sharing right now.
Kathy David?
can't hear you, Kathy. Redland Go?
Yes.
Heather Gray? Heather Gray?
I'm passing.
Okay. Campbell Johnson?
No.
Allie Lexa?
Reluctantly, yes.
Ishia Wangaza? Abstains. Laura Priebus?
Abstain.
Summer Reese?
Yes.
Marcel Reed? Marcel, can you?
Abstain.
George Mayer. Thank you. I have George Mayer.
Abstain.
Tracy Rosenberg. Thank you. Dan Siegel.
No.
Steinberg.
Yes.
Andrea Turner.
No.
Okay.
Yes, this is Tracy. Did you hear my vote? I'm sorry. Someone said they couldn't hear me, so I'm just checking.
You said, did you not? I'm sorry. Yeah, wait a minute.
You said, verify.
You said yes.
Right, that's correct. Thank you.
Heather Gray?
No.
Okay. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, yes, and one, two, three, four, five, no, six, no, and one, two, three, four, five abstentions.
Wow.
Okay, so the motion to refer to the committee is approved, so the motion is referred back to the Personnel Committee.